Okay. I just want to tell you where we are at now. It is 5 to 2. I'm going to ask, we have to be out of here not 1 minute later than 2:30. I'm going to ask, I mean that I'm going to ask, that since the chair of the election committee told me that he was not prepared, would you mind if we receive your report? Do you have a few comments to make that you can confine to a few minutes? Then I'm going to adjourn the meeting and, or entertain a motion to adjourn and ask the members to clean up after yourselves. Yes, and Dan Siegel's going to have one brief comment to the report. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, thank you. Now, what I meant to say earlier was I didn't realize that this was on the agenda, but actually I had prepared in case it was. So just to add to what I said a few minutes ago, there are a whole series of suggestions being looked into about cutting election costs, and since we haven't reached a final decision on them, I don't necessarily want to go through them today, but I do want to assure you that our goal is by your October teleconference, whenever that is, that we will come forth with some motions for action. And let me just give you the timetable, or remind you what the timetable is. Under the bylaw amendment adopted last year, the elections henceforward start and end earlier in the year, so that the executive director must hire the national election supervisor by March 1st. And then nominations open June 1st. The ballots are mailed to voters August 15th, and they're returned by September 30th. And then the deadline for certifying the election is October 15th. So just keep that in mind, that this is not the old schedule. Everything's going to get rolling quite a bit sooner. Let's see. Well, I think one of the issues that we're looking into is the question of whether parts of the election process can be done on the internet, whether that's putting the candidate statements on the website rather than mailing them out and then making the requiring those voters that want the written materials because they don't have access to the internet to contact the station to request that. And there's a real division of opinion on the committee as to whether that would tend to exclude voters who, by creating an extra obstacle to their participation or not. So that's something we're still debating, but you may want to start thinking about that and what your view is on that issue. There's some very practical ideas being put forward about how to suggest to management at each station ways to clean up the listener membership list in advance so that by the time the record date comes around, that we don't have all of these problems with people who aren't included or that have bad addresses. So I think we'll have some very constructive things to put forward on that issue. There's discussion about whether the current bylaws definition of unpaid staff needs to be altered to make it nationally consistent, or whether to keep it currently that stations with recognized unpaid staff organizations would continue to be recognized as the entity that will operate under the current agreements as to what their membership is. I guess I'll just ask if any of the other committee members who are here today want to add anything.
I know that Foundation Council has one comment to make.
Me. I want to very strongly recommend to the committee and the board that we get on some of these issues immediately, okay? We had two lawsuits in the last election, one of which is still going on, and I think to a large extent a basis for the problems leading to those lawsuits was confusion about who is a member, who is entitled to vote, who is on the list from each station. And obviously, if that had been resolved in advance, we'd have had much faster, cleaner, and cheaper elections. I don't think we should wait till October. I mean, I think the board should take action to instruct the station managers to get these lists cleaned up ASAP. And it's not just member lists, it's staff lists. We had a small, you know, war at KPFA as to who should be included in the unpaid and paid staff lists. These are time-consuming problems, and we really should not delay. Bob is right. The bylaws give you now until next March to decide who's going to run the election. But my recommendation is you should decide much sooner. You should decide by the end of this year at the latest, because you need to consider whether to continue to go with individuals or whether to go with an organization. And, you know, we have some experience with an organization that does very good work and does it economically. And part of it would be if you selected an organization soon, that organization could advise you as to alternatives for conducting the election. And this is, again, an important decision for you to make. Huge amounts of money could be saved by giving people the option to do their ballots on the Internet. And you could decide whether to do it all Internet or to give people the option of paper ballots in lieu of Internet. But, you know, these are all things that could be put in place early. And if you get the lists of voters straightened out, you're going to have elections which are much cheaper and which are less likely to result in litigation. So I would really urge you to move on this quickly, especially the list issue.
Bonnie?
Yeah, just as a member of the committee, and I'm on sort of all those working groups, I think, that we've been going through, I just wanted to mention I am also somebody that hopes that we are able to move toward Internet balloting with the proviso that we make provision for people that are unable to do it that way. And I, even if we were to move toward that, because it will involve having everybody's email addresses, I suspect it will be a couple of years of working toward a large percentage of it being able to be done online. One of the things we have been talking about, though, on one of the working groups and also on the committee is the possible prospect of the ballots themselves still being done by mail, but the kind of fat campaign booklets with everybody's statements in them being put everywhere that we possibly can, with a small quantity of them available as hard copy, so they could be mailed to people that really wanted one and couldn't find it on our websites or online in various ways. And I think that will save us many thousands of dollars when you think about what the mailing costs are now, the difference between less than an ounce and 3 ounces, whatever those were last time, 3 or 4 ounces, some of them, I think. So we really are considering a lot of things. We are working on a RFP process in order to perhaps go solicit at least some bids and get more knowledge about what having an organization do much of the process that an election supervisor would do, as we did in, what was that, 2004? Mm-hmm. Whenever we had.
We've never done it, but we should.
Just to find out. I think that we're going to get a lot of answers to that and perhaps assuage some fears that some of us may have about it, just by talking to the various organizations and finding out what they are comfortable with, what they are adept at, and hopefully we can have some of this information, because I completely agree with Dan that we can't really wait on some of these things.
Mary, are you on the committee?
Yep.
Committee?
I have been on the question, and I have a question for the council, if I might. Because in the fall of 2004, the PNB directed all GMs that they have monthly updated lists, which would be posted throughout the station of the list of the workers. And I wondered, does the board need to do this again, or is that still in effect? And so, the GMs are still directed to do that.
Okay, thanks.
I mean, preferably, you know, given that we're going to be in this interim or strategic plan in lieu of ED for a while, I'm not sure who would do this, but ideally the ED would do it, because I think the ED is the one person in the organization who, if she or he does it emphatically can get the cooperation of the GMs. It doesn't seem easy to do otherwise, frankly. But someone's got to get the GMs to do it and do it soon.
I have Margaret, Carolyn, and Zakai. And Yosh.
Yes, Madam Chair, full disclosure, I'm not on the committee, but I wanted to comment on something I think is key to the committee.
I only asked Mary because she's not a member of the PMB.
Oh, okay. I probably am not going to make any friends around this table in raising this particular issue, but I would really ask the election committee to seriously look into the issue of how the use of money for mailers to the entire membership has influenced this election and also our election process, and also to look at alternatives. You know, labor unions have found a way for that not to happen. Clearly, it's legal to do because California law allows us to do it. And, you know, I when I found out about it, it is legal, but some things that are legal doesn't make it right. And those of us who try to work as independents and not get embroiled in a slate or a faction, you know, because I think it really does promote factionalism and it has had an impact. Who has money and who doesn't have money and who therefore could send out a mailer and those people who can't. And look, you know, all sides in a way have been doing it, which I was quite stunned to find out. I think it's corrupting. I think it has really had a bad influence on local boards, on our national board. It also means that particular slates could come in and take over local station boards because they've got the funding to do it. So I would really hope that the elections committee, the board may not accept it, but at least investigate how labor unions who have had to grapple with this same issue have found a way to be fair and equitable and make sure everybody's information gets out, but really avoids us from becoming like the Democrats and the Republicans, where if you've got the money, cool. If you don't have the money, stay home.
Okay. Thank you. Carolyn.
Thank you. I'm on the work group working on the trying to find out who works for Pacifica, the unpaid staff list. And this is just an ongoing problem, and as Dan pointed out rightly, it is a question of implementing a resolution from 2004. The general managers simply have not cooperated in creating a list of unpaid staff members at their stations. And the membership lists themselves of listeners, not staff members, are in some stations in dreadful situations. And I would go so far as to say that any lawsuits that we have had regarding elections have had their origin in corrupted or unkept or not well-maintained lists of members.
Okay.
Not just the staff, but all members. And so I would really urge you in your own stations to demand that the list be maintained well and cleaned and secured against theft and tampering, which is not unheard of.
Thank you. Zakai, Yosh, and Ambrose.
I have a question and a comment. Madam Chair, is this the last issue of the day?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, before we close, I would like to see if we can get some sort of statement maybe from counsel on the Nedra Foster incident. I don't want to have us leave D.C., without addressing that. There's so many emails and things, and I'd like to know what's going on.
Okay, thank you. And Yosh?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also serve on the Elections Committee, and I heartily endorse the comments made by Margaret Prescott. I think that we should take money out of our elections. It's very corrupting. Two other things I want to bring out. It appears that after our last election cycle, we were left with one pallet full of election materials, which had to be shredded, resulting in a great waste of money. And they had to be shredded because they couldn't be stored, and who wanted, you know, stale candidate statements anyway? The other thing that I want you to consider is the fact that it appears that we spent $175,000 in travel expenses. And so I think this probably points to the fact that we probably need a national. Those are the figures that were given to me, notwithstanding the shaking of heads. Travel costs were well in excess of $100,000.
Do you mean for the elections or total network-wide for the year?
And the legal and the
Well, it says office expenses plus travel. No, I don't believe legal was in there, but
it is on the chart. I've got it right here.
Okay. Then I stand
anyway,
corrected.
All right.
But nonetheless, I do believe we spent a lot of money on travel, and I would prefer to see an outside organization rather than an individual national election supervisor just hip-hopping around the country. That also resulted in delays in the election process because a certain NES could not be in 2 or 5 cities simultaneously. Thank you.
Thank you. Ambrose and then Kathy?
No,
okay. Huh? Oh, Ambrose wants to say something at the end. I'm sorry. Okay, Kathy.
His favorite mantra.
We have to go.
Okay, I wanted to speak also to the elections and the question of using money for the elections with regard to mailers. And I certainly could agree with that, but I would want our rulings or whatever we come up with to be universal, because just like in a regular election campaign, something can be said by the candidate or there are the organizations that speak on behalf of the candidates. And I feel that our elections have gone far beyond an individual to many, many associated groups also doing mailings and emailings. And we also have some groups have the capacity to do phone banking electronically. So there's a lot that's going on, and I feel that one source of inappropriate behavior should not be singled out when there are so many methods being used, so that we begin to codify an imbalance by singling that out.
Dan is going to make a brief comment, and then we're going to go to AC.
Okay, so
it's not natural.